We have the honor of having Senator Jeff Wilson in the studio. Wow, thanks for being here.
Well, good morning, Johnny, and it's good to be here. It's good to see you.
Right, good to see you too. I see you out and about, and we talk on the phone a lot. I mean, this is the first in studio, I think, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is the first time I'm able to walk through the door, see you, and sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. And take on your show today.
How is the coffee?
The coffee's delicious. It's action-packed, so I recommend only one cup of Johnny's Famous Coffee.
So, okay, are you in town? Are you staying the night in town? Are you just passing through, or what's going on?
Well, I frequently, in the interim, when we're not in session, I load up my camper, and I drive throughout this district, this huge district we call the 19th Legislative District. And it's about 2 hours and 40 minutes from where I reside in Longview. So when I go on the road, I stay on the road. So this entire week, I'm here in Grays Harbor area. I will visit, you know, the highlights from Westport to Acosta to Hoquiam, Aberdeen, Montesano, any point in between.
Yeah.
And I schedule myself to see and be seen with people.
Right.
And actually, I reside. I live in the community, although it's on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
I eat here. I visit here, I talk with people, I do in-person meetings, and then eventually I head home to rekindle my happy married life back in Longview.
Oh, how's Longview doing?
Longview's doing very good. It's it has its city struggles and challenges.
Like we all do.
Absolutely. Right? It's a place that I've called home for 50-plus years, and you kind of get set in your ways. This is home. This is where I'm staying. In fact, this is where they may end up. I may end up ending this wonderful journey of life. But Longview is a beautiful place. But, you know, here I am. I travel the whole other area, and I come to another beautiful place. The river's up here. That's why I can't, because I'm on the Hoquiam River now, and it's all beautiful.
Yeah. Nice. What do you think of gas prices? You're driving your camper around. We have, like, the highest gas prices in the country. Yay, Washington!
You know, when you jump up and down and say, we're number one, usually that's a sports saying that you would do, like, we won the championship. Being number one is something that we really do strive to be, except Washington State has that unique category of being number one in a category of, well, let's just say pain at the pump.
Right.
It hurts. We are number one. We are number one in gas prices. I'm not going to be able to predict the future, but I would like to offer up, most likely, get used to it. And not only that, be prepared for more.
Oh, great.
When you sell auctions and you sell carbon credits, you know, the permission to pollute,
right,
that costs those companies money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you that businesses usually try to cover their cost and recover their costs through somebody that's buying their product. I hear a lot of political statements lately from some of the other sides of the aisle that would offer up, it's the oil companies are gouging us.
Right. They get like 7 cents a gallon, whereas our state or the government gets, I don't know, what is it, like 47 or 74 cents a gallon, something like that. My numbers are off, but.
Well, you're right on, and I think where we're headed with this is I would offer up that the oil companies aren't the gougers. I would say our state government is the gouger. We're the one that implemented the legislation through the Climate Commitment Act, which essentially brought about these carbon auctions where you would buy the right to, if you were a 25,000 metric ton polluter, you're going to pay and you're going to buy so you can continue to pollute permission. And that just costs money.
Going to the phones, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, Mr. Wilson. You haven't gotten into this subject yet, but I'll just tell you, no way in heck I'm going to put anything in my car that will allow the state to track my mileage or where I'm at. Never will I do that.
Mileage tracking. We're having a hard time hearing you. Dave, but I don't know if it's some kind of echoey or if we're on speakerphone or something, but did you get that?
Absolutely, Johnny, okay. And thank you for calling in. It's much appreciated. I believe you have every right to have that concern of tracking or being followed electronically. The legislature has danced around the topic for the past few years. Mm-hmm. It's at least it's been talked about openly, but it's a bad idea when we're looking at methods to track you and to charge you under distance traveled, which is, we commonly know it as the mileage fee. So when you want to go to the store, whatever distance that is, you will pay. And if you're going to charge somebody by distance or mileage, naturally the government would want to somehow have that where they know what you're doing and where you're at and charge you accordingly. I just want to assure you that, and thank you again for calling in, I have always been an absolute no on the tracking systems. We haven't gotten to the point where we can ensure everything from privacy, accuracy, and quite frankly, the age-old argument comes up of what about us here in Grace Harbor? What about us in Lewis, Pacific, Wakayakum, Cowlitz, all these rural communities where we got to drive farther just to get to work? We got to drive farther to pick our kids up from school. We got to drive farther to come into town to get supplies. And so it's the part of the divide. So for that reason and many others, maybe they said so on the TV show, but I'm out on that conversation.
Do you know if many on your side are supportive of such things?
Absolutely not. It's been a resounding no thank you to install, you know, those type tracking devices. And a lot of it isn't because of the phobia of people watching you or knowing what you're doing. But you get into the fairness. And let me give you an example. Let's say you're driving on the freeway and you have a tracking device, so you pay your fair share of taxes to the state of Washington.
Your fair share.
Your fair share. And alongside you comes a car, another car, and they have an out-of-state license plate. How are they paying? So is just Washington citizens going to be punished or others that visit us or do commerce on interstates or other roadways that may be considered, are they going to be considered foreigners, but yet they don't have to pay the in-house tax that we do? But they're still on the same road, the same road that needs repair. It's really a scheme type tax. It's a scheme that does have inequity, but especially towards the rural communities, and really it's the working class families that usually end up having to get up in the morning and drive to work or to live their everyday life. So the thought of being tracked on that, being punished for, say, living in the country. Maybe you want to live up a long gravel road every time you go up your long driveway for your seclusion and your privacy that you sought. That's why a lot of people move here. That's going to cost you more. That's simply not fair.
Hey, we're with Senator Jeff Wilson in the studio, just kind of talking shop. Let's see, hopefully I don't hang up on anybody. Well, it looks like I did. Did I? No. Okay, resume. Okay, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hey, you know, I have said this for a long time since they came up with that miles to collect money driving up. Exactly the same thing you said on the rural people. Because we would be flipping the bill for Seattle, Tacoma. I know that for sure. I would go with it if that money would stay in Grace Harbor County. You know what I'm saying? And will it?
I agree. That is a very short political answer, but it's the political truth. If you could get the value of something and you could keep a promise, but yet we have that 18th Amendment here in Washington State that always promised that gas or taxes would go to the purpose for what they serve. I think it would be great because imagine how much money rural residents could reinvest into their communities, to the alleys, to the potholes, to the bridges, to any form of transportation. The callers hit it spot on, Johnny. That's one of the biggest problems because it's the inequity. It's the feed.
Mm-hmm.
It's the feed the Seattle machine, feed the light rail, feed all of these special inner urban bus systems that we cannot benefit from.
Right. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Morning, Johnny. Gentlemen, how are you this morning? Gordon here.
Hey, Gordon.
Morning, Gordon.
Okay. So, I don't... With all the new rules, regulations that Olympia keeps coming up with and the federal government keeps coming up with, I am of the opinion that it is has nothing to do with fairness. It has nothing to do with... paying your fair share. I am more of the opinion that this is all about control. It's control of the population of each individual state, of each individual county, and in some cases, each individual city. You have Seattle that is out of control, but you have so many things going on in Seattle. You have your drug dens, and they're, you go in there, you get as high as you want to. If you overdose, they give you, hit you with Narcan, and away you go, you're good again. And they're making it so it's they want to make sure that you have a safe place to be while you're shooting up and killing yourself. In the case that you have of the driving, that is nothing more than control of the people. You have control of you're going to take away the gas powered cars. And you're going to put in the electric. Anytime the government decides, you know what, we've had enough of this, they shut down your electric grid and you've got nothing. They can control you from every direction. It's with the control of knowing where you are, who you are, how far you go. They can control, they can find out where, anytime you are, Big Brother is watching and Big Brother is controlling. And the government, and then you can't tell me that the states are doing this on their own. I suspect that the federal government has also got parts and pieces in this as well. The OnStar system is a great, great system, it helps you out in all these things, but it also controls or knows exactly where you are any particular place. Some of the insurance companies have these devices to find out how well you're driving. Okay, that's terrific, but it can also be used to spy, basically, on you and keep track of where you are. And that's not a freedom-type thing. That's knowledge that the government, I don't care how small or how large, that's a piece of equipment or a piece of information. The government does not need to know about each one. The free idea of freedom and being a free country and being able to come and go as you please or whatever else, that's bogus. The idea of having to have a certain driver's license that is that's accepted by the government to be able to fly from here to Idaho, and you have to prove who you are. We don't even have that kind of safeguard to do things like, voting for a president. You don't have to have that kind of safeguard to be able to make a decision with your children. The government comes in and takes that away from you. There is no freedom involved with this. It's just another way for government, big and small, to control, to have a possibility to control, and to know every single thing there is to know about each individual person. And as long as people keep buying into it, it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. And if you think communism was a bad idea before, you're going to have communism in a way that will absolutely floor you.
Senator, are you a communist?
I'm not a communist.
Okay.
I'm not a Marxist. I'm not a fascist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly not a socialist. But Gordon brings up this point, Johnny. And he mentions that word, rightfully so, mm-hmm. control.
Right.
But I'll offer up to your listeners that control truly still can be controlled
mm-hmm.
through voting.
Right.
I'm sitting here in your studio this morning enjoying your coffee, having great conversations with your community, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here because voters took control just 3 years ago and gave me the honor and privilege to serve the 19th Legislative District. Mm-hmm. It's that big of a deal. And although Gordon is correct, but really control, as with everything in life, has to go in a balanced form of checks and balances. And right now, the control, and sometimes I get accused of the blame game.
Right.
But the control is by the majority party. Those people that are elected in by mm-hmm. others. And right now, and for the past years, we've been under the control. I don't support any of the things that your caller was trying to bring about for the attention. Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I am in the minority.
Right.
However, if that gets to be changed through voting and elections, next year's a great election year, by golly, I think that we can change who's controlling who.
Right. It kind of just, it seems like when we get to the majority that we have now, taxes go up, rules increase, and here we are. But then we're blaming you. Hey, that's your fault. There, Jeff Wilson.
Well, if you know, it's okay to blame. But you get to that point when, you know, the pointing fingers, you know, that's something we all do. I almost think it's just a reaction that we do. But what I'm looking for is, instead of a reaction, I'm looking forward to action, mm-hmm. which action is get concerned, get involved in every election you can, whether it's local, whether mm-hmm. it's your school board, whether it's a mid-race or anything, or all the way up to the legislature. People need to get their voice. We are a constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, get elected. Make change, because this beautiful 19th legislative district, it's not going to change. We do hear the people. We work for the people. The people are our boss. We're not the boss. And quite frankly, that's the control we want to return, Johnny. We want to return that control to local communities. We want less control by Olympia and more local.
Anything else, Gordon?
Yeah. The problem that with that, quite honestly, is that you have these people who run for office. They make these grandiose promises and what they're going to do and what they want to try and do. They get into office and they do just the opposite. And they've already been voted in. And you've got these people who will take and ruin whatever progress that may have been made. And that progress, it's another 4 years or 6 years or however many years that we have been in office before we can try and even get that going again. And the Congress, they're not listening to the people. They're not listening to what the people want. How many times have we had on the ballots where they come in and they wanted us to vote on something that has been put out there by the legislature without the people's consent? And we want to know how, you know, whether we should keep it going or repeal it. Here's an idea. Stop passing these laws that the people are just going to get upset with. Who came up with a law with a 10 round magazine for a weapon? Who came up with that law? Was it the people that did that? I would say no. I would say it's the legislature. Who came up with the idea that you can't have a wristband on your arm to hold your pistol steady for these people who are disabled? Was it the people that asked for that? No. It was King Biden that decided he wanted to have that out there. The Congress is not listening to the people. The Congress is going off and doing things they want to do, regardless of how the people feel. Then you've got another four or six years of trying to vote through. That law is in there. It takes you another 12 years to try and get that law taken out of there. And by that time, as you said, get used to it, because it's just going to get worse.
Well, thanks for your call, Gordon.
This is Local Matters with Johnny Manson on 94.7 Timber Country.
Senator Jeff Wilson is in the studio enjoying our radio station coffee.
I will call it the nuclear coffee of Grays Harbor. It's delicious, everybody.
Nice. So, you know, Gordon had called talking about, you know, 10 round clips and wristbands and another, and these laws that nobody asked for, but it, like the legislature just kind of says, here, shove it down your throat. But then when the people have spoken and, let's say, votes for $50 car tabs more than once, and we still don't get it, regardless of if, of the impact, right, good or bad, we still voted for it a couple times, right, and then we don't get it. Why is that?
Well, for starters, you just raised the price of the car tabs. It was originally the $30 car tab. That's what triggers everybody, and rightfully so. What I often tell people is vote, vote, vote. And you hear that routinely, and I don't mean to be a broken record. Voting is not a privilege. It can't be taken away from you. It is part of being an American. As long as you're a legal American and you can legally vote, please vote. But the biggest problem I tend to see is a lot of voters, once they vote, they kind of go back to the everyday life. And quite frankly, I like voters that hold electeds accountable after they get elected. In other words, you warranty your vote by following. Not stalking.
Right.
Following the people that get elected, you watch them. Mm-hmm. You watch their voting record. You need to be aware of those that would make false political promises. I call them a form of political Pinocchios. Those that will turn on you or us once elected, hold them accountable. Look at what they're doing when they're in office and in session, and actually join in the party. Mm-hmm. It's so easy now to sign up to testify in a committee, email them, call them, tell them you're doing a good job, you're doing a bad job. But after you place that ballot, to me, I still think the responsibility is there is to follow through and to make sure that your vote went in the direction that you wanted it to. If it does, then say something nice. If it doesn't, still say something nice, but in a stern way.
Right. Well, I've had campaigning legislatures call in on this show and promise me that gas wasn't going to go up. And look, gas went up a lot, highest in the nation. They promised me this carbon scam auction thing wasn't going to affect gas prices. And look, highest in the nation.
That's very common.
They lied.
Well, the lies can start also at the top of the food chain at times. The governor, not to badmouth the governor, but the quote was, listen, everybody, these carbon auctions will result in just pennies increase. Well, we're already up 46 plus cents. So to me, pennies meant a couple, not several. And the penny, its size matters when it comes to the talk of pennies.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning. Question for you about holding our elected officials accountable and following up on our vote. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the legislature exempt themselves and their communications from the Public Records Act a few years ago?
Not necessarily. You're talking about legislative privilege, and it has and can be used, really, if the legislator initiates it. The funny thing is, the courts now are involved. In other words, there is an ongoing case that's hopefully will settle this matter. Now, I got to tell you, sir, I'm appointed and serve on what's called the Sunshine Committee. There are four electeds that get to serve on this committee, and our job is to look at all those exemptions for public records that should be disclosed or not. And there's over 600 exemptions already on the books, and our job is to look at them and say, is this really necessary? Why don't you just simply release the information? But legislative privilege really starts with the legislator. I've been at this a few years now, and I've taken legislative privilege one time. I don't even know why I did it, but if you looked up and it's all been released, it was an email to a staff member. It had nothing to do with anything, and therefore my record is, I think, the way it should be. If you don't want something discovered, and you don't want people to see or read what you said, mm-hmm. then don't write it to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly a simplistic way to resolve this. I don't believe we should have legislative privilege unless it's redactable based on something of a very serious outcome. That hasn't been determined. But, sir, I do agree with you. There needs to be a lot more release of those records.
I would agree. So so the process then is if a public records request goes in for email communications from a legislator relating to X and say, I want all the communications that you've had about this bill and that involve these companies or lobbyists or whatever, the legislator can come in and say, well, I'm going to release these, but these 239 other communications and documents, they're privileged and they shouldn't be released, but then that has to go to your committee for review and then you determine, or do you simply have to go ask, do you actually determine whether that privilege is being properly exercised and does your committee make the final determination on the release of the records, or does the ultimate release of the records decision still stay with the legislator?
Well, on the privilege matter, that usually starts with the legislator, the originator, I would say, of the document. But ultimately, the release of that goes through a series of steps, including legal counsel review and whatnot, that could get it released. I have to let you know that I have a bill coming out. How I'm grateful you called. I have a bill coming out this very short session starting in January that is going to create a study group to create portals, electronic record portals, like the state of Utah has already, where the public can access information at a much more quicker pace and get a bigger reach and spectrum of the records they do get without having to get, well, I'll call hassled or inconvenient. Sometimes filling the form out starts a long process of you don't know when you're going to get your records. You don't know who's going to decide whether you should see it or not. So I'm going to open this up this year on some legislation to make it better. Now, wish me luck because I have to convince the majority.
I do because I've submitted many public records requests over the years, and I work for a government agency, so I've also had to deal with providing and responding to public records requests. So I'm familiar with both sides of it. So I do wish you luck on that, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. The number's 360-533-5259. You can email or text message johnny@jodesha.com. So what are you doing in the meantime?
Well, you know, we're never really off-duty. And for those that think there's an off-duty once you serve people, especially a legislative purpose, you're never off-duty. What you do is you just have a different calendar. Obviously, I'm in this really cool radio studio this morning, having a great time. I'm not wearing a suit. I'm not wearing a tie, and actually I'm probably the happiest I am all year, but I'm going to have to go back into session, and so what you do is you prepare for that, and we call it the interim, and so I'm developing legislation that I'll introduce or reintroduce. There'll be such greatest hits, as I just mentioned, public records. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be providing legislation on pinnipeds, those predators that I will say are out of balance, mm-hmm. with our fisheries, mm-hmm. sea lions, stellar,
oh my
Californian.
We've talked about the sea lions on this show because our friends out in Westport have to deal with them, and there's nothing they can do as they're breaking in their bait bins and just being a nuisance. But you can't do anything because they're endangered species or protected or something stupid.
You can take their picture, yeah. and caption whatever you'd like, but I've had enough of the predator imbalance. So yeah. I've already formed a subcommittee, mm-hmm. and I am the first legislator that will be introducing a two-year program. This year, we will be providing budget provisors to state agencies to actually do what they already are allowed to do. Did you know that on the Lower Columbia River, we have, through the Marine Mammal Protection Act, a 120F permit that says, okay, state agency, you can go out and capture and remove X number of these predators, but they haven't met their quota. So we're not even fulfilling what the permit allows us.
Wow.
So I'm going to supply the equipment and the structure this year's legislation to make sure that happens.
Nice.
And then the following year comes the big one. I'm going to ask that we actually try to expand the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Just like we have on the Columbia River, I want to move that permit up mm-hmm. north to the Puget Sound area mm-hmm. and all of the Grays Harbor area
right.
where our agencies, we actually do the work of the federal government instead of talking about it and getting discussions and studies from NOAA and all these agencies. It's time to go predator shopping. It is time to put it in a balance, and this includes the tribes. Mm-hmm. The locals, the guides, the sports fishermen, everybody has access to that fish should. The problem is the predator has been taking more than their fair share.
Right.
And I am, like I say, I'm the first legislator that is dropping this in a two-year program. And I'm excited about it. I've have a lot of support for it already.
Mm-hmm.
So look for an actual, we did it first on the Johnny Manchin Show, a promise. Here's my political promise on pinnipeds.
Nice. Well, it's about a quarter till. We have one more segment with Senator Jeff Wilson here on Local Matters. If you have any questions for him, you can call us at 360-533-5259. Email or text johnny@jodesha.com. Senator Jeff Wilson lives in a van down by the river. No, you're staying in a... Wait. Oh, camper.
In an RV down by the river.
Okay. Hey, we're just having a good time, right? It's all good. If you have any questions for him, it's 360-533-5259. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I had one little statement about the salmon stuff and any kind of wildlife that has to do with sportsmen. You know, we can talk about predators. We can talk. The ultimate predator is on the reservation. And if you're not going to do something about the tribes, then don't even waste our time. The tribes are what are the problem. They're overfishing. Okay, so, and number two, the reason why I'm calling is we're really late in the game now. We're in the twilight hours of the Republic. Who are you voting for President of the United States? And don't give us this rhino answer. There's only one choice. So who is it?
Who's that one choice?
Well, if this is the no pressure part of the program, well done. Listen, let's go back to the issue of the tribes. I do have to say that I am a state senator. And federally recognized tribes, of course, get into a different area that I'm even allowed to participate in. So there's a lot there, and not politically dodging any of these questions. I like these questions. But as you know, this is something that really I don't get a vote on.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I kind of go on mute a little bit. Now, as far as the President of the United States, the last president prior to President Biden, mm-hmm. I was okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And his name starts with that T word, and it triggers some. But
the big bad orange man.
Yeah, the hairdo. But I didn't care about that. What I mm-hmm. cared was I thought he was the best president at the best time. Whether he's going to do a redo and make mm-hmm. the reappearance, quite frankly, I don't know if I'm going to get the chance to vote for him or not yet, because
right.
of that process of selecting, nominating at the party. Mm-hmm. These things are well before me. I can give you what I am going to vote for is definitely going to be a Republican
mm-hmm.
and a conservative. And I can tell you why. It's because the track record of the leadership of where we're headed in this country is on a spiral in the direction I would consider the wrong direction. So I can assure you I will be supporting the ideology of making America not only better, but safe.
All right.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. It's 8 minutes till. If you have a question for Senator Jeff Wilson, it's 360-533-5259. Text message or email johnny@jodesha.com. we're taxed, like, on our taxes now. We're taxed on food. We're taxed on the wages we make. Then we're taxed on any inheritance. Then we're taxed on the taxes that we're taxed by taxing it again. When will it? But then if you come in as a conservative Republican and say, I want to cut these taxes, they'll say across the aisle, they're giving breaks, tax breaks to the rich. You don't want to do this. They're tax breaks for the rich. How do we stop the insanity?
Well, no, wait a minute here, Johnny. You're supposed to give tax breaks to the rich and everybody else. Everybody deserves a tax break today. And let me back up. The pain just is starting, and I don't mean to inflict anymore, but just on July 1st, just a few days from today, as we sit in the studio and visit, the long-term health care tax starts. The payroll, the payroll tax. So on July 1st, if you get a paycheck, ladies and gentlemen, and your employer gives you one, you're both going to get taxed. This new employee tax starts July 1st. It didn't get a lot of attention last session in the media because we were so busy with guns and so busy with drugs and police chasing. So this long-term health care tax...
It's going to slide it in.
It's going to slide in. But let me tell you, everybody's paycheck in the state of Washington is going on a diet July 1st. And it's wrong. I voted against it. We couldn't spend. And these are one of these famous tax things that you don't want to cut. You need to repeal. Because really the value, what you get for that tax, it's not a value that I could support. It doesn't make economic sense. It sounds good to take care of you in long-term health care when you need it. But really, it's a money scheme to gather a lot of money and promise you something that the government cannot deliver. And so this is why the interim becomes dangerous, because these things simply are sneaking in. So July 1st, everybody, watch your paychecks. It will be smaller.
And then our gas will be more expensive, right?
You can count on that. You can count on fuel in Washington State. Obviously the state, the legislature has found a way, an enemy in petroleum, an enemy in those that produce carbon fuels. But it's never been fair. Those polluters that have to buy these carbon credits and creates all this tax money, but not everybody got taxed. What about SeaTac? All the airplanes that come and go?
Right.
The hundreds of millions of gallons of aviation fuel to get airplanes on and off the ground, that's not taxable. It went to put pain at the pump, the gas pump. You know, when you put the nozzle in your automobile, the average person doesn't put the nozzle in their airplane.
Oh, but if we all have electric cars, then we wouldn't have this problem.
Washington State, you're going to need a longer extension cord for all of your electric vehicles, because electricity is something that we need to produce in order to provide.
But we'll open the dams up and remove all the dams and we'll have less electricity.
Listen,
so that's good.
It's kind of like keeping your damn hands off the dams. I've recently concluded a self-guided tour just last week. I was at the lower Snake River dams. I camped at McNary.
Yeah.
An ice harbor. I made a personal voyage over there and I watched the 95% fish passage success with my own eyes. I looked in the viewing windows and I saw fish coming by and I quizzed people. Those dams are probably the most responsible form of energy we got. It is absolutely ludicrous to consider to remove those dams. And if you do, electric cars are going to turn into Flintstone cars, where you're going to have to put your feet and run around like Fred Flintstone instead of having enough electricity to charge your car.
So it makes sense why we want to do that then, because it makes no sense to do so. But hey, my friend Jeff Myers always says we have the government we deserve, don't we? Ay, ay, ay. So if you have any questions for the dear senator here, you can call us at 360-533-5259. Email or text message johnny@jodesha.com. Any other things that you can tell us that's going to help us here in Grace Harbor that you guys are working on, or maybe things that you hear with your comrades up there that they're working on that might be helpful to us?
Well, Grays Harbor is a very, it's the beehive that's building and starting to really buzz. Last session, we were able to connect some dots on projects. The levee, you know, to help keeping some of the local community from having to build submarines to get to work instead of whatnot. You have to be very conscious of the extreme weather. So levee and completing that has always been something I politically promised, and I will keep that promise. But in also, there's a lot of activity later today. I'll be at the Port of Grays Harbor. Now, they can't give a job to everyone, but they are growing jobs, and they're creating those giant concrete silos as we speak for the expansion of the soy meal and soy export business. It's good for the community. But my favorite thing, I do have a number one, Johnny, for this year, and that is we were able to bring a very big check home for the rail grade separation. As you come into Central Park, you enter Aberdeen, you enter traffic, you enter congestion, you enter sitting at stoplights for a long time. And this is before you even crossed the first bridge. This project is fully funded, so I'm very excited. This was something I stood in Aberdeen and talked with Hoquiam over 4 years ago and said, we're going to do this. And the check is in the mail. It's fully funded. You're going to get this built. So moving around Grays Harbor is going to get a lot easier. Or for some people that want to leave Grays Harbor, it'll be easier. But coming and going, Johnny, it was a massive success, and we should celebrate that.
How can I get a hold of you? We got about 30 seconds.
You can always call the office. You can email me at jeff.wilson@ledge.wa.gov. Or simply call me in the book at 360-786-7636. Love to hear from anybody.
Well, I hope that you'll be able to come into the studio, you know, more often. You know?
I hope so, too. I mean, we get to check each other out on our style and our dress code this way.
Yeah, as you can see, I'm very casual.